Free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to Free Energy Now. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net. And you can also find there a list of upcoming speakers, or guests, I should say, as well as a link to our past shows, archives. And if you're listening live, you can find there some call-in numbers if you want to join us. We do ask that you wait to the end of the show to call in. Our guest today is Jean Manning. She is going to be talking about... first of all, I should mention that she's the author of the book, The Coming Energy Revolution, The Search for Free Energy. She's also composing a second book now, but today our topic is going to be New Energy Movement Branches. Jean has organized a support group in Vancouver, BC, Canada, has been very successful, and she's going to be sharing her formula, how you might establish a similar group in your area for action and upliftment and other purposes. Jean, thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's good to be with you.
I think you were the guest on our very first This Week in Free Energy show about 3 years ago.
Oh, when we were at the Tesla conference.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That was the first broadcast we ever did. And so it's fun to have you on again.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Well, tell us, before we get into this, talking about these branches and this New Energy Movement local support group, what's the name of this upcoming book you're going to be putting out?
Oh, it's co-authored with Joel Garbin, the president of the New Energy Movement, and mm-hmm. the title we have now is Breakthrough Power. So it's
Breakthrough
all about
power.
On many levels, breakthrough to a new consciousness, breakthrough to a higher civilization. We have all sorts of opportunity for the human races working with not just advanced technologies solutions, but also the growing movements around the world for people to take back control of their lives and governance of their bioregions and just generally have more say than has happened in recent years when the international corporations have kind of co-opted a lot of our powers. So it's not just about technology, it's about the big picture on our planet.
More perhaps the impact and reason for new energy in its social interaction.
Right, right. And the history of it and challenges that new energy movement has faced and the inventors have faced over the years. And the growing need for and growing grassroots interest.
Mm-hmm.
Every science conference I've been to practically, and particularly I remember in Seattle this summer, I've heard it over and over again, where scientists at the end of a weekend of talking about their work say that what they really need is for the public to know about what they're doing. Public education comes up again and again among the scientists talking about why the really advanced solutions are not being put into effect.
Mm-hmm.
They know that they run up against vested interests who want to make fortunes on going in the direction that they've been going in already. And there's a lot of inertia toward change. So the scientists really recognize the need for the public involvement. They don't just operate in isolation and figure they can do it all alone.
Are you looking to publish the book?
In 2008, definitely, as soon as possible, but still working on it.
I should mention that when we were there in Portland a few weeks ago for the New Energy Movement board meeting, and I was speaking with Joel, he was very delighted that you had asked him to co-author the book with you. He was quite excited about doing that.
Well, it's really a win-win. I'm just so happy to have someone on board of his caliber And it makes it easier to get a project done. It helps to focus. I mean, there's so much to be said. I was kind of all over the map for the last few years in writing a book. And how do I narrow this down to one book? You know, there's so much to be said about our field and the implications and the adventures of everybody. And so co-authoring helps me to narrow it down to, well, this would be suitable for a co-authored book. And also, he's such a sincere, his integrity just comes across to audiences just like he's natural as a public speaker. You know, he is a person of integrity that just people just pick up on it. And so then I wouldn't have to do all the frontman stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'd rather be working in the background, networking like I am now. And it's fun to be on your radio show.
Thank you. Yeah, Joel is good there at the podium. He's got a good, I wouldn't say charismatic. He does have charisma, but I think it's more leadership. He's got a very...
He doesn't lay on the dramatics, you know, the trying to manipulate a crowd. He doesn't do anything like that. He just speaks his truth, and people know that. And
mm-hmm.
it's an informed truth, so people just pick up on it. I think the era of the, you know, alpha male sort of coming on heavy leadership is kind of waning, and a need for a more balanced leadership where people aren't being manipulated, but they're just being informed and asked to join in.
Well, after meeting his girlfriend and seeing how strong a person she is and how she understands the balance between male and female, I can see, you know, why you would say something like that about him, because she's a reflection that he would attract someone like her.
That's right. He didn't attract a clinging vine. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, very good. Well, let's talk about this group that you have up in Vancouver. Can it give us a history and what it is that you do? How often do you meet? And the idea here is to set forth a model that other people might be encouraged to adopt in their own particular areas.
Okay. First of all, I don't want people to think it's my group or my formula. It's all due to the really super people that got involved. But I can, you know, kind of give some suggestions about what would work. I'll tell you what worked in Vancouver, and maybe not every bit of that template would work in other areas, but you can modify it for your own area as it suits. We started meeting nearly a year ago in January 2007, and we've met monthly and sometimes bi-monthly when we were really working hard on trying to hammer out a mission statement for the past year. So that's 12 months of meetings under our belt. I guess we can come to some conclusions about what worked. And so where we met was, you know, half dozen different venues. We started off in my apartment. And then when I moved from there in the middle of summer, we met in a storefront space in a really pleasant, spacious back room. And then we went to an environmental meeting place, a building called SPEC in Vancouver, where different environmental groups met. And we had a couple of DVD showings there for inviting more of the public. We've met at a couple of other private homes and the community recreation center. And so we obviously don't have a home yet. And that's something we have to solve in the new year, is how to handle growth. But we can get to that. I mean, we're growing pretty fast, and it's just like a business. You get to a point where you have to figure out how you're going to handle the growth and still maintain what you have. And, you know, it is our intention, of course, to grow and to reach out to as many members of the public as possible. So, a history. I actually started back in the 1990s This is the interest in our city in Vancouver. Began in 96 with a man who asked me to speak at his planetarium after my book came out, and had the auditorium booked, and 220 people turned out for an auditorium that only sits 200. And that was all due to this man, this organizer, Joseph Duggan's ability to get out there and spread the news in the papers and posters and everything. Did a really good job, and I was terrified, but I'd asked a half a dozen of the local inventors to share the stage, so at least I didn't have to carry the whole thing myself, and people had fun. So what we learned from that is that there definitely is public interest out there. And then out of that grew a number of inventors came to that meeting, not a really large number, or maybe, well, those who signed up for further meetings of inventors, and maybe a couple dozen at the most. And that part didn't last very long because it was kind of co-opted by somebody who had business interests that wanted everybody to work on that, so people just kind of quit calling the meetings. So that's one thing to watch out for if you're planning a group, is make it clear from the start that what the goal is and what the meetings are all about, and make it clear that it's not going to be a venue for somebody to exploit. So it wasn't anything serious, but just we didn't continue on that part of it. And then the next fall, I received an email from an engineer who was from Eastern Europe, but he had a business in Malaysia, aerial photography, and a really young engineer traveling through British Columbia. And he'd read The Coming Energy Revolution, and he asked if I could meet with him when he came to Vancouver. And did at the Blue Energy Tidal Power office. And it turned out that he was a really bright, idealistic person who kind of had plans to move to Vancouver if what we talked about worked out. He asked me to call together a really diverse group of people so we could brainstorm the question of, is there a need for an international grassroots people's movement to support the non-conventional or alternatives. And so the day of the meeting was a really stormy Vancouver day, and I kind of wondered if anybody would show up, but it was maybe a good omen that there were half men and half women, 16 people, came out on a really rainy, stormy Vancouver Sunday afternoon and gathered in a living room and brainstormed, and we're quite enthusiastic about the idea of a citizens group. And what was unexpected to me was that they just wanted to keep on meeting. And so the engineer, Brian Royko, was pleased with it, but he had to go back to his work in Malaysia. And funny thing about that is he called for that meeting, and then we never heard from him again for just last year or so. I heard from him that he was back in B.C., but he started something and left town, and it just kept on going. Huh. So that group wanted to continue meeting, and I really think, Sterling, that it is important, the fact that we had a mixture, as we do now in the New Energy Movement Canada, of a mixture of men and women from various backgrounds. Right now, we have people from business community and healing professions and education. We have a retired physics teacher, media. We have a man who supports editor for the newspapers, and a cameraman for a TV show, and a couple of writers, and of course our technical guys, the engineers, an inventor. Excuse me, Sterling, I'm going to have to cough. Maybe recover for me a minute. Old Christmas bronchitis thing. That's the the main point that I want to make is that if you're going to have a group that has the goals and ideals of the new energy movement, you really need a mix of male and female energies, as we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a matter of the socializing part of it. It's a matter of the support atmosphere. We, in our group in Vancouver, have a special relationship with our technical people in that it's in our goals that we've written out to provide a nurturing environment. And we also have, you know, passed resolutions to the effect that, and it's certainly been honored, that confidentiality is really important. If we have any technical people in our group who are working on some in energy technology and don't want to be public about it, but would like to have a group of friends to be supportive about it, confidentiality is 100% honored. That's really important.
Maybe you can give us an idea of what kinds of things you cover in the meeting. What is the purpose of the meeting? What is accomplished in the meeting?
Okay, I'll talk about the meetings, but first maybe I should give you our mission statement.
Okay.
It's very similar to the New Energy Movement in the USA, maybe just a little bit simplified, but it was hammered out over meeting after meeting because I think each group really wants to express it their own way, and then they've worked it out and thought about it, and it's theirs, you know, it comes from their hearts. So anyway, New Energy Movement Canada is a grassroots group dedicated to sharing empowering information with the public about quantum leap clean energy inventions, educating ourselves, creating a nurturing environment for inventors, and acting as a catalyst for the proliferation of harmonious energy conversion devices and systems. The intention behind these actions is to help restore ecosystems and enhance life for all living beings on the planet. So, Sterling, as you know, that's 100% in harmony with the New Energy Movement mission statement in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that actually took up several meetings, that and working out goals, vision statement. So we have a mix in our meetings of there's generally at least 15 minutes of an educational component. Sometimes it's the whole meeting. And so I was just talking to one of our members and totaling up the variety of presentations that we've had at our meetings just in the past 12 months. We had plus a couple of outside events involving DVDs of Nassim Haramein, the scientist's work. I totaled up 15, you know, including an outside venue that's a town about 45 minutes from Vancouver, Langley, where a few of our members live in an environmentally friendly co-housing complex named Windsong. And so they showed, in their Windsong meeting room, they showed DVDs for the people out there. Would you like to hear some of the different presentations? We have just the general topics?
Sure.
Okay, we had started off with one of the engineers on sacred geometry and the phi ratio and how that kind of relates to new energy inventions. And we had Joel Garvin up there in person one day, an evening of conversation.
Let me interject here. I'm guessing from what you're describing here that each time you have a certain portion of the meeting allocated to a person giving a presentation?
Right. I'm glad you made that clear. That's a really important part of our template or formula, as you will.
Okay. Let's hear some of the topics that you've covered.
Yeah, and we had another one of the engineers talk about crystal radio as an analogy for tapping into an invisible source of energy that's previously not understood. We had a couple of them about the technical guys on magnetism. One particularly is working with magnetic motors in the States. And We had one of our members who had been down to California and visited Inventors, gave a report. We had a physics teacher talking about resonance, a retired physics teacher. We had guest speaker William Baumgartner. I don't know if you know about his work, Sterling, vortex technology.
I've heard of him, yeah.
Yeah, the Schauberger, Victor Schauberger approach to working in harmony with nature. He's also an expert on the knowledge of the late Walter Russell. And then we had one of our guys talking about the Vedini battery charger, which actually several of the guys are building, and I've encouraged them to get that Energy from the Vacuum DVD series. And so that makes it fun when they bring hardware to the meeting and do a show and tell.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of times I reported on different conferences I'd attended. And then we, as I think I mentioned, we put on a couple of events at that environmental building about showing the DVDs of Nisim Haramein's Crossing the Event Horizon series. Have you had Nisim on your show?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, good one. And we also cooperated with the helps out with the events that brought him to town in person in August. So looking back at that was a pretty good year of presentations, and I hope that we've talked about our planning for the new year, that there will be more opening up to the general public. The thinking is that you kind of have to get your act together first, you know, kind of get to the point where you work together cohesively as a group, and it's really a good idea to meet for a while, just learning to work together before you put on a public event. When we first met in January last year, we talked about putting on some huge event in June at a venue in Vancouver, and I'm glad we kind of slowed down and said, well, wait a minute, are we really ready for that? Because you only get one chance to premiere very publicly in a city. You know, if you got to do it right. So we knew that we needed some work. And actually, we're really behind on one thing, and that's website. We've had a year of various people in our group with various talents, but nobody who was a website builder, and it kept kind of getting shoved aside. We'll do that eventually. Well, our December party, someone came up who was works on websites, and we get help from her, and also with our November meeting, an engineer from Vancouver already help with the website. So we'll get that done soon, Sterling. We just don't have that part done yet. It's really an important part before you call a big public event. Well, people have to be able to go to your website and say, well, right now we can refer them to the newenergymovement.org, but that's not a local website, and it's not, you know, just talking about our city.
Right.
So that's a really important part of anybody's template.
When you come up with a name for your site, you'll want to have a weight for different branches that may follow your model to be able to have their subsections of the site where they can,
mm-hmm.
You might even use like the meetup functionality where you pay a nominal fee to basically announce your event and what's coming up, show where you meet and who the contact information is. There's a little discussion board that goes with it. It's really quite conducive to what you're trying to do, and that's what they're using in the Ron Paul campaign.
Okay.
You know, he's running for president here in the United States.
So is there a meetup website? Oh, what?
That they use, it's called Meetup, M-E-E-T-U-P,
uh-huh.
meetup.com.
Okay.
You just set up an account and list your event, and then other people who are involved in the same type of event can list it similarly, and they'll be grouped together so that when you click on one, you can see some of the others that go by the same name, and it kind of shows some cohesion among those different groups.
Oh, good idea. Thank you.
Yeah. And that way, it's a little more publicly editable type of thing, so that you know, a number of people can log in and make changes and update things. It's probably easier to pass the baton if one person ends up, you know, being busy with something and has to kind of step away for a while. Other people can kind of pick up and run with it.
Yeah, well, that's what we need, people with expertise like you have to come up with those possibilities.
The downside of it is the fees are, you know, they're like in the ballpark of $12 a month, and so it's not one of the cheaper things, but, it works pretty good.
Well, that's certainly doable as a group grows. Actually, we haven't charged membership fees yet either. We can see that it's time to start talking about that. What we've done is just kind of take up a collection each time to cover the cost of the venue if we're renting a space.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're really open to advice on how to take a group that's growing and it's obvious there's public interest in joining. There's no problem on putting on public events and having as many people come as you've allowed a venue space for, you know, hire a big venue if you have lots of interest. But as far as the business meetings, you know, the organization itself, you know, we're open to advice on how you get, how you kind of manage growth, because up to a couple dozen people at a meeting, you can really accomplish a lot. But there gets a point where meetings become unwieldy and a little harder to conduct the business if you have 50 people in the room or something. We haven't had that problem yet, but I can see that there is a lot of interest. We haven't really advertised publicly because we felt we weren't ready. But since it's our mandate to reach the public, now it's time to get serious about what we're going to do about that. So we plan our January meeting will be action plan time, come up with an action plan. And
you might even take on somewhat like a choir model where you have, a governing board, you have a treasurer, secretary, and these people will have an extra meeting after the rehearsal where they can kind of cover some of the minutia of, ordering music and all the different things that are involved in keeping a choir going. It's not a lot of extra time, but you have the body of the choir, people who are participating in general, but then you have a smaller group of people who are actually involved in the coordinating and the leadership of the meeting.
Oh, that's a good idea to have those sort of planning meetings right after an event happens while people are still. I work for a theater company. Once as a publicist, and they would have what they call notes right immediately after the performance to see what worked and what didn't. And that's a good time to do it while you're still there, maybe, because we have people coming from West Vancouver, North Vancouver, East Vancouver, and Surrey, the city to the south of Vancouver, plus Langley, which is at least 45 minutes away. And so meetings have to really have a purpose. Otherwise, they would feel like, well, why are we bothering, But another point for general template notes is make it fun. That's really important, that people enjoy, or two things, that they feel like they've learned something and they've had a good time. Fun can just be being flexible enough that everybody enjoys a few laughs at least every time. You know, there's some fun going on while you're getting work done. You know what I'm talking about. We enjoy that at the New Energy Movement board meetings, don't we? The camaraderie.
Yeah, when you're, let's go to this, you talked about having presentations. Is it fairly loose in terms of if somebody's got something they want to chime in on, they just raise their hand?
No, it's planned ahead of time. they usually we ask for volunteers at the previous meeting, and of course, some of the guys kind of have to be urged because they don't see themselves as presenters, but when they actually do it, then they find out, hey, people are really interested in what I have to say, and I am able to explain things.
Uh-huh.
And so far, it's just a lot of it's just been let's just learn a few basics tonight. Not trying to cover too much at each meeting, but whatever works in any local area. I look at some notes I've got here. One of our members made about our monthly meeting process. And would you like me to kind of run through that?
Sure.
Okay. So at the end of each meeting, we suggest agenda items for the next meetings. And then that's circulated by email, that agenda, a week or so before each meeting. And so people can add suggestions, additions, changes. We haven't always done that, but we've tried to. And then the facilitator. Now this is where our template might not work for every city. So far, we have been completely democratic, and facilitating the meeting and chairing the meeting has been rotated around. Not every single member wants to do that, but we urge as many as possible who are able to carry a meeting to take their turn. And that's worked really well for us, because we don't have any one leader. But like you say, at some point we may need to have officers. For instance, we decided to just go and register the name, New Energy Movement Canada, rather than, we had some legal advice that in Canada, nonprofit societies are a bit more limited in what they can do than they are in the U.S. in terms of political activity or anything. But we might have another look at that in the new year, and then we may need to name at least and name only some officers. So the facilitator keeps things going, keeps the decision-making moving along and makes sure that all the different voices are respectfully heard. In the beginning of a group, you find that somebody wants to dominate just because they're strong personalities or just love to talk, So we've had some pretty good facilitators who keep things moving around or limit the time that people can comment on an item if really need to move along. And each time we have to have a note taker to kind of record the general flavor of the discussion and, of course, the important specifics that we agree on, so you can look at that later. And sometimes a timekeeper, keep an eye on the clock and make sure that we keep in within our time. You find that busy people, nobody wants to go to a meeting that they know it might drag on, so we really try to keep the business meeting within an hour. And then that way we can encourage people to arrive a half hour early for some socializing. And then, of course, they can stay afterwards or go for coffee afterwards for some socializing too. But for the really busy people who want to make sure that it's only part of their evening on a business meeting, really keep to the hour. And now we have some, unique parts of our own template. So our meetings start right on time, and just take a few minutes to relax and become present at the meeting by doing what we call a check-in. And that's where new people would introduce themselves and share something about their interest in new energy or their hopes or their... And people who've been coming to other meetings just might share what their frame of mind is for the evening. And so the check-in just gives people a chance to become fully present to the business of the meeting, to kind of leave what they'd been worrying about on the drive over. And sometimes this might be something personal, like, hey, I just drove here straight from work and I'm hungry, so when I was in my apartment, grab something from the kitchen. But a check-in works as long as you don't have a huge group, right? Because because it could take up to 20 minutes if you have a larger number, and it's really worth it, Sterling. I think it's an important part of a process for a group to become present. And then, of course, the agenda, we own a flipboard, easel and flip chart, and so if you put your agenda on a whiteboard or a flip chart, and then it can be clarified or agreed on, and that's done before the meeting. And it's good to reserve the last 10 or 20 minutes of the meeting for conclusions and checkout, which is kind of the opposite of check-in, you know, where everybody assesses the value of the meeting, you know, if they appreciate it or if they have different hopes for the next time, and then adjourn on time. So what you need to accomplish at a meeting is, you know, confirm what actions are going to be taken between meetings and suggest ideas for the next meeting, and present, you know, invite the presenter for the next meeting to agree, and confirm who will facilitate the next meeting, you know, the note taker and the chair. So that's our formula. And as you can see, other areas would certainly modify that to suit themselves.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about is something that I have had brought to my attention recently that has been lacking in our news and directory service is a really good what you can do page. Mm-hmm. There's some, you know, where there's some follow-up where people can, you know, they read information and, you know, it's information, but a lot of people just, they want to get involved, but they don't know what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, in your in these meetings, how much emphasis is there on people kind of walking away with a take-home lesson of here's what you can do to make a difference this week, or here's what you can, how you can apply this information?
You know, that's a really good point, Sterling. That I can't say that we have just given a walk-away message of what you can do, and that's a good idea we can bring up at our next meeting. It's not just take away knowledge and feel good about that, but, you know, take away, well, here's what I can do. We have to have some educational materials that people can give to their friends, and, of course, as soon as we get that website up, that's a tool that any organization can refer their friends and associates to. What some of us in our group, actually I think most everybody in our group, sees the importance of visioning. We really believe that thoughts are creative, that thoughts do create what happens. And, you know, right now in our culture, there's so much emphasis on negative scenarios of the future. So that's something that everybody can do, is put out a positive vision. And in fact, at every meeting, we read our vision statement right after our mission statement, just to keep right in the beginning of the meeting, just to keep on track. And our vision statement is just a couple of sentences. Can I read it to you?
Sure.
Okay. We envision a civilization of higher consciousness in which humankind possesses a variety of devices which tap into a source of abundant, free, or affordable energy accessible to all. This energy is life, and people use it with pure intention and integrity. So that's kind of the bare bones of it, but, you know, people who don't feel that they have anything else to give, you know, maybe even a shut-in, you know, a person in a wheelchair can still focus on a positive vision of the future and really put emotional energy into how good it would feel to be clean, breathing clean air, even in the middle of the city, and to know that our children are going to have an environment in which the water is being cleaned up and the soils aren't polluted with oil spills or nuclear waste, and you know, just envision all the details of what could be. And don't worry if it sounds too utopian, because you're contributing to something positive. You're not why envision the worst end of oil era Mad Max scenario? Why put your energy into worrying when you could do something much more productive by envisioning what could be?
Well, that's really good. I know in our New Energy Movement annual meetings that we've had the last 2 years, we've had that visioning session at the end where we spend half an hour just kind of in a meditative state, lights out, eyes closed, and then we just voice different things that come to our minds. And that's been a really powerful practice to kind of put out there what's going to happen in the coming year in relation to what we're trying to accomplish, and having a group vision or putting out that positive imaging can really have a lot of positive impact.
Wasn't that amazing when we checked with the previous year's flip chart, which was still in Joel's living room?
It was.
He and Steve were feeling a little bit down about feeling that they hadn't done very much toward what they wanted to do, but of course they weren't giving themselves credit for everything they did in Washington, D.C., and in meeting with so many politicians and legislative aides, and just planting seeds of information. But anyway, when we went through the 2006 envisioning, they were really amazed at, and we were too, at how many had at least partially come true. So, I've had it, experiences in my own life, Sterling, of deciding on something better for myself, whether it be a living situation, and then just kind of feeling what it would feel like to be in that situation. For example, at one time in my life when I was between jobs and totally broke, but needed to move to another town and needed to find a decent place for my son, who was having some struggles. And so I walked around a place where my friend Tammy was house-sitting and just kind of soaked up, what does it feel like to be in this airy space? It wasn't big and ostentatious, but it was healthful. It was pleasant. And then through a long series of circumstances, I ended up in a certain apartment in the next town. The first morning I was there, I opened the windows, and there were ponderosa pine trees outside the windows, just like that home that I'd soaked up the feeling of what it would be like to be there. And and I looked around and said, yes, this is bright corner apartment, airy, lots of light coming in. So that was only one little example in my life. There have been others where the power of envisioning, you have to put some emotion into it, some positive emotion. It's not an intellectual exercise, truly. It's putting out the power of one's creative thoughts. So back to what people can do, that's one thing. Do you have any suggestions to add to what perhaps we could be doing in our branch-type meetings?
Well, one of the things I wanted to get a little clearer picture of, since I've not had the chance to visit one of your meetings, but I have in the past organized such meetings of, a different topic matter having to do with, what it was is irrelevant here, but I'm curious, when people are giving the presentation on a given topic, how much interplay is there between the speaker and the audience? Is it kind of a lecture-like, or is it more of a discussion, or does it depend on who's giving the presentation?
Like when Joel came, it was a discussion, but he was quite eloquent so it was partly a speech. Generally, it's a demonstration, and we just listen and listen carefully, and then afterwards express our appreciation and maybe after the meeting go up to the guy for a bit more information on it. So no, it's generally not just a discussion. discussion. It's just teaching us some aspect of the new science principles, or of what inventions are out there, or of what else is going on in the world. You know, like I told the group about the Green Salon events back east. You know, in August I was out in Bethesda, Maryland, where Todd Hathaway and Nora McAbee put on a meeting, and so you bring back things like that to your group, and you say, this is what they're doing out there. And of course, in it's kind of a case of each group. And I think of this slogan that my mother had on the wall: "Bloom where you're planted." Well, the Nora and Todd's group, the Potomac Energy Project, is in the Beltway area, so they deal with the Washington D.C. Agency types and ambassadors, and you know, they deal with who their neighbors are. And they're also close to University of Maryland. They're involved with events there. And so each city would have kind of a different constituency and focus.
Would you see this group as ever getting involved in a specific technology? Let's say, for example, one of the inventors, or one of the members of the group is an inventor who is developing a technology. Would you see that the group could actually wrap around that person, and some people get involved directly in the business in paid, eventually salary-type positions, marketing? And would you see that as being a role, or would you see that as being outside of the what you think would be good for the group to do?
Well, I think I would be really cautious about that sort of thing, because, you know, sometimes the projects don't turn out to be as wonderful as they look in the beginning. I think it would be wiser to say, if individual members want to get involved in somebody's project, great, you know, they take it on at their own risk. And what, you know, we as a group could do is say, offer networking among our associates. You know, do you need somebody with certain skills for this project? Well, I know somebody who has the financial background, or the typical or specialized engineering skills, or whatever is needed. You know, I think that helping them in that way, networking ideas and contacts, would be a lot safer. You know what I mean about the pitfalls and that.
What about working with local municipalities to adopt certain green technologies? Say they need to boost the amount of power they have at the local power generation station. Would you see that you might get involved in petitioning them to look at wind or solar or some other technology? Is that something you could see the group doing?
I would say if it's an advanced energy technology that could be applied, or at least partially applied, that would be suitable. But, you know, there's so many groups already that support the conventional alternatives, that new energy movement, you know, in the U.S. and our group in Canada has decided to specialize in helping out, bring in and encourage development and funding of the non-conventional alternatives. But as far as getting involved in local issues, whenever it's appropriate, great. You know, what bloom where you're planted means work on what you can do in your local area. You know, kind of look around and see what's happening and see if there's some way you can fit in. And some of the things that have been suggested are, you know, by one of our members, a teacher, is go to local school board when you have your act together, and offer to present. You know, these sort of things have to be planned for, you know, probably the spring ahead of the following school year, that you might offer to make some presentations or help with some science fair, or somehow get involved with education of the youth. That's That's really important. And so I know we'll be talking about in the future, will there be any way that we can get involved with young people, schools, or youth groups. So I don't know if I've answered that question.
Yeah. So to be you were talking earlier also about maybe having, once the group is a little stronger, to organize a fairly major convention in the local area so that people could kind of rub shoulders with some exotic technologies and ideas that they might not have thought about before.
Yeah, that's a really big undertaking, as you know. And the New Energy Movement based in Portland did put on a successful event in 2004. A lot of work went into that.
Yeah.
And it would be really helpful to have a philanthropist front some money to cover some of the beginning costs of booking the venue and everything. Well, what we had planned when we were a little over optimistic that we'd be ready by June was just an evening, and that maybe that's the way to start is to put on a few public events before you want to bite off something as big as that. But I wouldn't want to discourage anybody from going for a huge vision. Might be a good idea to kind of work toward it by smaller events beforehand to see mm-hmm. how your group works together and maybe what you need to improve in your presentations. It's really important to be cohesive in what you're presenting. We had to discuss the issue of keeping it positive. You know, there are plenty of groups or venues for discussing everything that's wrong and scary in this world, and we really kind of just came up through certain incidents, had to say, well, let's keep that out of at least our formal meeting, and definitely out of our public presentations. Let's focus on the positive vision and the possibilities and the new science and how exciting that is, rather than all the dark undercurrents that might be out there. You know what I mean?
One of the things I'd like to recommend topic-wise is kind of a good foundational common frame of reference. I came across a site yesterday called storyofstuff.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 20-minute video presentation, quite entertaining and brilliantly done. And it goes through this basically the linear supply chain of the status quo that's driven by consumerism and all the waste and the pillaging of the land that takes place and of human resources to sustain this unsustainable, actually, system that we have nowadays. And she talks about turning that into a cyclical, self-sustaining model so that, you know, there's not all the waste and whatnot. Fantastic presentation. I think your group would really enjoy it, and I think it would provide a point of cohesion, of purpose, you know, something to be working toward as a group.
Mm-hmm.
That energy has a very big chunk of solving the problems that the world is facing right now. Clean energy does.
I have seen that story of stuff. It's great. Yeah, that's a good idea. I hadn't thought of showing it to the group. Good idea. We have a digital projector and screen and everything too, so that makes it more fun when we want to educate ourselves if we need to. You have enough people in the room that you really need to put up a screen. We've got that equipment, so it's
uh-huh.
nice to have. But that's a great idea, Sterling, and focus on that.
Would you
self-sustaining model.
Mm-hmm. Would you picture yourself having introductory materials at some point to kind of orient people as to what you're trying to accomplish, maybe even some preliminary readings that get people on the same page?
Yes, definitely. I remember last when I did hand out a list of websites and resources like that, but we need more introductory materials. And so you, this is, again, where you need the balance of people from different backgrounds. You know, you need to have people who work on the educational materials and all the work that's involved in producing something really classy.
Mm-hmm.
You need people who are good organizers, organize in advance. We have people who've experienced and are keen to do that and have...
You know, a fun project for a group that size would be to produce a short educational video that you could put up on YouTube.
That's a good idea, too. We have, you know, a member who's a cameraman and learning more about video production. And we had just talked about, for our own benefit for starters, putting together clips of different cool videos and everything, but definitely wanting to put together something of a quality that can be presented public conference YouTube.
Gene, I really appreciate you coming on. We are to the end of our 55 minutes here. I appreciate you sharing what you're doing in the New Energy Movement branch there in Vancouver. And hopefully this can be an inspiration to many others, and we can start to see these things popping up all over the planet. Best of wishes on your book, too.
Thank you, Sterling. It's been fun.
All right. Okay. You take care.
Bye.
Been listening to Free Energy Now, brought to you by PES, Pure Energy Systems. You may access past archives and upcoming show info at freeenergynow.net and join us for our daily news at freeenergynews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at peswiki.com. That's peswiki.com. PES, the Pure Energy Systems Information Network.